Hello and welcome to Animates, bringing you stories about animals and how we connect with them. This programme is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Monica Fulton. Today we have an interview with a very good friend of mine for many years, Angela from Perth. Angela has been an animal lover all her life and seems to be drawn to giving a caring home to cats and dogs who others might have found too challenging, like Jessie, the three-legged dog, and Molly, the diabetic cat. Angela has had to deal with health challenges herself and finds her furry friends a great comfort. Angela, tell me about your current dog and cat.
Yes, Monica, I've got two rather old animals now. I've adopted a 13-year-old cat, Therma, that's the name she came with. I got her about 3 years ago, so she's coming up 16. And luckily, she doesn't have any health problems, not like my previous Molly, who had the diabetes, and I adopted her at 9. And I've got Sam, who has a story attached to him. For a very long time, I actually worked with my local shelter, and I fostered dogs. And the normal fostering period is 10 weeks. But he was with me for 21. He was a very sick little dog.
Oh.
And as a consequence, what happened was that he finished up staying with me because I'm what they call a foster fail. I just could not give him up.
Yeah.
He was just too sweet. So he's been with me for about 8 years now, and he's almost completely deaf, which actually makes no difference to the day I got him because he never listened to me when I called him anyway. And also he has macular degeneration, which is actually something he and I share in common because we both have that. So his eyesight is extremely limited, but he's just a sweetheart. He's just a lovely dog. And if it wasn't for the fact that I live in a little complex that actually has a no animal policy, which obviously I have broken,
yeah.
I would actually adopt even more animals because I just have a love for just older animals. I cannot understand how anybody could have an animal and keep it for, you know, maybe 5 years or more.
Yeah.
And then just relinquish it because either it becomes too difficult or... I know there are different circumstances, and I think with Sam, his owner went into a retirement home and wasn't allowed to take him. I think that was the deal, but nobody really knows for certain.
Well, they can't speak, can they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he's just lovely. And from a personal point of view, having an animal is really lovely because one of the symptoms of what ails me is actually depression.
Can you tell us a little bit about your health challenge, Sanj, and how perhaps the animals react to your not having a good day or how they make you feel better, and perhaps they even motivate you to, when Sam's case, taking him for walks and that sort of thing?
That's exactly it. You've just hit the nail absolutely on the head. What I have quite chronic fibromyalgia, which I've had for an awfully long time. I've also got something called Raynaud's disease, which is a whole other problem, which I won't go into. But there are days when you wake up when you really just don't want to get out of bed. And I guess it's a little bit like, you know, if you have children, needs must. My little furry friends don't have opposable thumbs, so they can't open the can themselves. So I have to get up and I have to feed them.
Sure.
And once I'm actually out of bed and I've done that and we've said our morning hellos and I've been shouted at by the cat because she's very vocal, I find that it's not so much that I feel better, but it's really hard to explain. I just feel the need to do the right thing by them. So I will take Sam to the park, although in honesty, now that his sight is really difficult, it's getting less and less, whereas we used to go every single day.
Yeah, I remember.
I now probably only take him maybe 2 or 3 times a week because he just gets very disoriented, even though we go to the same park every single day. So I'm going to have to rig up some kind of extremely long leash because he's the sort of dog that, you know, he's only little, but he loves to run, and I don't want to stop him from doing that.
I guess in a way, going to the park because of Sam, because you have to, because the dog needs exercise, even though I understand obviously not so much today, has other benefits for you too, and it gets you out of the house. Presumably there are other people who walk their dogs and you see them every day, and maybe you kind of join in and there's a bit of a community there.
Absolutely. To be honest with you, I'm normally happier to see their animals than I am to see them. Well, you did say I was an animal lover.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily include the human race. Yes, I mean, there's always a wave and there's always, you know, a good morning. And the strange thing is, of course, that we all know each other's animals' names.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we were to meet each other in a crowd somewhere, we wouldn't know each other's names at all.
I am so glad you said that, because when I go to the dog park with my dog in the mornings, I do not know a single person's name, but I know every single dog. Well, they don't know my name either, so I don't really care.
It's actually quite joyful, because you arrive at the park and they all come to say hello.
Aww.
It could have something to do with the fact that I've usually got treats in my bag.
Okay, that was my next question. Cheat.
I do cheat, but more often than not, that's actually to keep the other dogs away, because they trample all over Sam now. There's a couple of very big dogs, so I just put a little pool of dried food on the ground and they all mash into that, and then Sam can actually rush off and do his own thing.
Mm.
Actually, he's looking at me right now because I said the word treats, and I said it quite loud.
Nothing wrong with his hearing, then.
No, it's selective. It's definitely selective, yeah. Like most males of the species. Yeah, so that is the joy. And one of the things that I have noticed is that if I'm in a particularly poor state, and I do have days and weeks like that, it's the cat. Sam, not so much. But my cat she's a strange little creature. She's very typically a cat in that she has that aloof sort of attitude towards everybody and everything.
So have you noticed that she actually acts differently when you're not well?
If I go and lay on the bed, she will always come and jump up on the bed next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she does have the habit of, she licks. Unfortunately, most of the time, the lick is followed by a little bite. But not enough to break the skin or draw blood. I haven't had to have a transfusion yet. But she's just that sort of a cat. And she really is absolutely beautiful. It's a joy to get her, even at 13.
Have you noticed that she does that more when you're not well?
Yeah.
Okay, so on a day-to-day basis, would she come and allow herself to be patted, or not so much?
Oh, yes. No, she does. She does. And she's also realised that if she takes a route from her tower bed that she has across the dining room table over the back of one of the armchairs, she's then at exactly the right height to put her face directly into the plate of food that I may or may not be trying to eat. She's actually worked that one out.
Very clever.
Yeah, she does take advantage, huge advantage. But as I said, she's very different to Molly. I used to say that Molly would sit on my shelf. Molly would actually just jump up onto the chair and crawl onto my ample bosom and just nuzzle into my neck. And she would sit there for as long as I would allow her to sit there.
Regardless of whether you were having a bad day or not.
Yeah, and she would sleep across my head at night. And it didn't matter what I did, she had to have that really, really close contact.
Yeah.
Surma is very different in that she will stay on your lap for just minutes. She wants the attention and she wants the contact, but it's very much on her terms, except when I'm obviously not feeling well.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
And then she will just sit with me for ages on the bed.
And Sam, you'd think he just couldn't care less as long as he gets his needs met.
Oh, why would he care? As long as he gets his food. He's a very loving little dog, but he's just not as attuned, shall we say, but he's a sweetheart.
Just following on from the cat sitting on you and when you're having a bad day, I wonder if you can just let people know how important they are to your getting through these bad patches.
Right.
How important are they, do you think, to your being able to function? Because I know things can get pretty tough for you.
Hugely important. I can't even begin to explain how important it is to have these little creatures in my life. Just having them here, that's the first thing. Just knowing that every morning when I wake up, Sam will be on his little bed at the side of my bed. He's too old to jump up and sleep on the bed anymore. Mm. He doesn't like to do that, even though I've actually put a little stool there for him. I know, this is what we do.
I guess you're going to be installing a little lift, are you, next time?
Press I've button. Actually got the mechanic coming next week. But I don't know if he's going to be able to use the button on it.
Oh, you can train him. Put peanut butter on it and he'll lick it.
But it's just knowing that they're there and knowing that I have this responsibility that I have to get up and I have to go through the usual. He gets a raw chicken wing every morning, so I have to cut that into three and I have to put that on the mat and it has to be in the right place so that he knows where to find it. It gives me a routine, which is really important, because sure. otherwise it's ever so easy to just roll over and try to ignore the world. And it's not just from the depression that you get with fibro. It's actually the pain. It's just the daily grind of you go to bed with a pain and you wake up with even more of them because you've been laying in one spot all night normally. But it's more than that. It's incredibly calming just stroking an animal. Burma loves to be groomed, and that's one time that she will actually sit still, if you like, for, for as long as I've got the energy to groom her, to be honest.
Okay.
But just stroking an animal, I think that's actually been proven. That it's very calming. It brings down your blood pressure.
So, Ange, when did you get your first animal, and when did you first get interested in animals? But I suppose the interest was always there.
Mm. Yeah, the interest was always, and I was always drawn to both cats and dogs. I mean, I didn't actually have them as a child. It was not allowed. I did have a tortoise called Jeremy. To be honest, you couldn't take the tortoise to the park. Never got to understand the concept of fetch. Mind you, Sam never did either.
Oh, well, there you go.
Nor my three-legged girl, Jessie. She would run after the ball and then look at it. I've never had a dog that would bring back, although I've had a cat that would do that. Molly used to fetch.
Okay.
I just love having animals. I don't know where that came from. I've got no idea because we didn't actually have any in the house, although I do vaguely recall, as a very small child, my grandmother had a cat, and she also had a chow, which was there one day and then disappeared the next, and I think I was told that it bit me, and so they...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, obviously didn't put you off too much, anyway.
No, I don't remember any of that, but it was when I actually first moved away from home. I was living on my own in a basement flat in London. And my landlady, who lived above me, was one of those five-story houses. And
so, I remember that flat. I don't remember you having animals there, though.
Yeah, okay. No, I did. I actually got a kitten. Okay. We finished up actually going to live with her and her cat. The house was open, and my friends on the top floor, they had two Siamese. My landlady had some black and white thing, and I had this tabby. It wasn't till I came to Perth that I was actually able to get the dog I always wanted.
Yeah.
I went out specifically to get an Australian Terrier because I wanted that for my son, because I thought every Australian boy needs to grow up with a little Aussie dog. And I came home with a three-legged Cocker Spaniel.
Well, that's the story of your life, isn't it? Always been a bit different. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners about how important they are? I think you've probably covered it all, but it's just...
I just highly recommend. They can only do you good. I've never had one that's done me any harm. As much as kittens and puppies are an absolute delight, they are only kittens and puppies for a very, very short time.
That's right, yeah.
And older disposed of animals, they need love, and I think they have an understanding that they've been saved.
Yeah.
I really have a sense of that.
Well, you've certainly done that in spades, haven't you, with your lot?
There's been quite a few down the road.
And it's been absolutely delightful talking to you. Really lovely. And
pleasure.
All the best, and love to Sam and Thurma, yes.
Sam, my pleasure. Bye for
bye.
Now.
Bye. Bye. You have been listening to Animates, This programme has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks. Research by Joseph Schwanzer, and I'm Monica Fultin. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.